Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Saturday. Good afternoon. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. This is News Talk 790 KNST. We have a great show lined up again today. Imagine that. A little bit of a reminder, please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter for updates on what's happening locally and in the world of sustainability on a global scale. When I left this morning, I was at 1792 followers on Facebook. The universe is messing with me, man. I got to get those numbers to even numbers. When I get within eight, I'm okay, follow me on Facebook. So there's a little whiny voice. Two in-studio guests today. I am going to roll this show because I have so many important questions to ask about our world's energy and what's going on locally and globally. Mike Baruch is the Bright Save Energy Home Program Manager from Tucson Electric Power. And Paul Bonavia, who I have said publicly, privately, and now all the world knows, is one of my favorite guests. He is the President and CEO of Unisource and Tucson Electric Power Company. Big job, big scope, big reach, and he's got a view from 30,000 feet, and we'll be hearing about that in our last segment. So let's go. This show today is sponsored by Chapman Tucson, in case anybody's wondering. I am loving my VW TDI. I'm getting great mileage. It's a diesel, so I've only pulled up to the gas tank about maybe five or six times and then realized I have to go to a diesel tank, but it's all good. I'm learning. We have a green tip today, and I was talking to Mike a little bit earlier, and this tip once a month is sponsored by Horizon Moving and Storage, and they're friends of ours, Bruce Dusenberry and his wife Lynn, and you talk about outstanding community partners together. They're probably on 20 boards. So if you're going to be thinking about a move across town or across the country, think about Horizon Moving and Storage. Support them because they support Tucson. And the tip that I decided to use is so ingenious. Get an energy audit. You'll thank me. I've had one. Mike and I have talked about it. So we're going to fill the segment, this first segment, with that. Please check out the contest that I have going on my website. It's a staycation contest. It will crack you up. Some of the answers, I cannot believe the answers that people have put on my website for what their dream staycation contest is. And one of the things you can do, another sponsor I want to bring up is Bookman's. They have unbelievable summer programs for kids, and most of them are extremely inexpensive or free. So include them on your summer staycation plans. Your kids would be so excited, if you have little kids, if you said, okay, we're going to spend an afternoon at Bookman's. Trust me, that is a great staycation idea. And they don't just have books. They have CDs, DVDs, books on tape, you name it. And if you have an electric car, you can get your car charged at their EV station because they have one, and that's also great. Okay, and I want to do a shout-out for Geo Innovation because I have a really quick, funny story. My Twitter numbers are growing. Don't ask me how. I just think it's pretty hysterical at my age that my Twitter numbers are going crazy. So I got a retweet the other day about something I wrote about Geo Innovation. They'll come and do a free estimate for solar installation. They are absolutely one of my favorite in town. I have many. And it says, your comment has been retweeted by Richard Barna. So I know Richard Barna from Pepperviner, and I go on his Twitter account, and he retweeted it to all of his 8 followers. So that kind of cracked me up. I'm like, go, Richard. The journey of a lifetime. Okay, Mike, let's go. Let's talk about the Bright Save Home program that TEP is offering. I was one of the first ones to have my energy audit, so tell us about it.
Yes, thanks for having me in here today. It's exciting to be here. The Bright Save Home program is an exciting new program that's part of the Tucson Electric Power Bright Solutions for residential homeowners. It's a program that's designed to help people in existing homes, particularly older homes, identify and also make energy efficiency improvements to their homes. So there's two components to the program. The first component is an in-home audit, and you mentioned you had one, and it was a great experience. And
so hopefully painless and so productive. That's what I've been announcing, like at my Rotary Club, my Women at the Top group. Do this. It is not hard.
We have a fantastic team of auditors, energy, and analysts that go in and analyze your home. They've been doing it for years as part of our Guarantee Home program, and now they're moving into retrofits. So they're actually bringing the building science that we pioneered with the Guarantee Home program for new homes. They're bringing that science into existing homes now and performing a very detailed analysis. Typically, it'll take from 2 to 4 hours. They'll come into your home. They'll measure all of the critical information in your home, the square footage, the volume of your home, which is very important because the volume is actually the amount of air that you're heating and cooling. So it has a great relevance to establishing your heating and cooling costs and where we can make improvements. They're also going to do an analysis of your insulation levels, your duct work. They'll do what's called a blower door test, which
is fascinating.
Yes, really and I'll tell your listeners a little bit about that, because if you haven't had one done before, you might feel like it's a scene out of E.T.
I was just going to say that. You felt like you were on E.T. and you were going to go through the I really was.
Absolutely. The blower door test involves actually opening either the back or the front door of your home, and then we place a red canvas door over it, so it looks a little bit like a quarantine. It has a window in it, but it also has an enormous fan in it, and it's hooked up to a microcomputer. And what we do is we depressurize your home and look for the measurements of the leakage. We also do the same thing with your ductwork, test the leakage in your ductwork by depressurizing it, and that enables us to calculate how much leakage is in your home and then how much of the leakage separately is in your ductwork, because they're two separate things. We actually have incentives for both. We have incentives for homeowners that need to have duct sealing either done with mastic or aero sealing. We also have an incentive for additional air sealing in many of those hidden nooks and crannies that you typically don't see because they're hidden inside your walls and where penetrations go through in mechanical closets around.
You could literally be heating your attic or cooling your attic because of the duct work. And, of course, I'm Mrs. Green, so I'm following them around asking a bunch of questions. But the average homeowner, me, doesn't have a clue that if your duct work isn't sealed properly, you could be paying a great amount of money to have a freezing cold attic.
Absolutely.
I don't
Absolutely.
Want to do that.
And what we found is so many of the homes that were built before about 2006
right.
have significant leakage in their ductwork.
Right, not good building.
No.
You know, I told you time would fly. You're going to have to come back and have another show. But it's only $99, which to me is a no-brainer. The money that you can save, how do people find you and get signed up to make it happen? And what's the response been so far?
The response has been absolutely terrific.
Yes,
just had an overwhelming response to the program. We're actually talking about potentially adding some additional staff to meet those demands. But very quickly, because I know we're short on time, anybody that's interested in the program can enroll by either calling our hotline, which is 855-870-0050, or going and visiting us online, and you can enroll online at tep.com/green/brightsave.
And I checked it out last night. It was easy. It was easy as can be. So I'm so happy that it is. I want to mention and make sure that this gets put in. Everybody that you have is certified. They are so professional. And then they will advise you as to approve contractors that you have already, they've passed your seal of approval, special training.
Correct.
So it's really a zero risk, great rebates.
Absolutely. All of our auditors and all of our contractors have Building Performance Institute training. Building Performance Institute is a nonprofit that.
Right. That is that they're just the real enchilada. So this is Mike Baruch from BrightSafe Homes. Great program. You can contact me through MrsGreensWorld.com, and I will always connect you with Mike or the program there. Mike, thanks so much for for coming on. Time flies when you're having fun.
Thank
Up
you.
Next, Paul Bonavia, President and CEO of Unisource and Tucson Electric Power Company.
790KMST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790KNST, where you can find out what's happening in the world of sustainability locally and on a global scale. Today, I am going to talk fast because I am from New Jersey and I can do that. We're talking about, to me, one of the most important issues facing our world today, and that is energy. We had on in our first segment Mike Baruch from the Bright Save Energy Home Program. He's the manager of that program. It's getting unbelievably great response. Mike is going to stay here in studio with us, And we're welcoming Paul Bonavia, who's the president and CEO of Unisource and Tucson Electric Power, who I would ostensibly declare is a leader in energy on a global scale. People want to know what he knows and what he thinks. So, Tom, you're a caller. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, over in California, they have lots of research labs, especially the Western Cooling Efficiency at UC Davis. Colorado has a big energy development for cooling and whatnot. My question is, why hasn't Arizona gotten a piece of the action for developing more efficient cooling systems for residential and commercial homes?
Okay, I can't field that one. And I think that it's what I'm going to ask you to do is email me, Gina at Mrs. Greensworld.com, and I will put the research team on it, since we are, like, I'm kind of the research team, but we've got a great team of Mrs. Green. And I'm sorry we can't answer your question right now, but thank you for calling in and being a member of Mrs. Green's World. We really appreciate it. Okay. Paul, there are three areas I want to try to fit in today. So one is, I believe that the health of any community really starts in a hub being downtown. When you go to any city, you want to say what's going on downtown. Our story historically has been abysmal, not when I first moved here. It's alive again. It is teeming. I love to go down there with my husband. There are restaurants. There's nightlife. There's excitement. And to me, TEP, your choice to build your new headquarters has been absolutely a catalyst for that change. Let's talk about the magnitude of that building and what you're doing that's green in it. I mean, there's a different energy downtown. You cannot deny it.
It's exciting, and I love it, and we wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And the good thing about it is that a lot of other people came to the same conclusion at the same time, because I agree with you. When you're down there at night, you can't find a place to park. Hard to get a table in a restaurant. You see people on the sidewalks, people coming and going. It's terrific.
You can walk from all the restaurants down to the Arizona Theater Company, down to the Fox. I mean, it's starting to feel like a downtown again.
Yep.
And the restaurants, I needed a reservation? Really? So you do. So TEPs, talk about just the mere size and some of the components that are going to be in the building.
Yep. And if folks drive anywhere near downtown, you can see it. It's really taking shape.
You can see it.
Yeah, it's 9 stories, and all in all, it's about 170,000 square feet of office space, which is for us. It's
right,
for
right.
TEP and affiliates, the Unisource companies. There's also about 11,000 square feet of ground floor retail space, and
so
there is meeting space. One of the requirements, at least that I had when we started out planning this thing, was to have auditorium space large enough to host community events, practical enough to divide up and use for multiple events at the same time, and have it all be very accessible to people as they come in. So.
And you mentioned parking. You're going to have parking, but then there's that magnificent structure that's being built right across, right around the corner,
right,
where there's going to be multiple, hundreds of more parking spaces. Because some people say, I'm not going downtown, there's no parking. And there's going to be a lot more parking.
Yeah, there is going to be a lot more parking. It's needed, and we'll have about 500 spaces in our building alone.
Will that be available to people at night?
It's going to be, obviously, the first call on it during the day is for our people.
For your employees.
And we're working with the city and others to see how we can use it at night.
Okay. What are the energy efficiencies that you have incorporated into the building?
Well, I'm proud. This is a global first, a worldwide first.
I'm
right
so
here
excited.
In Mrs. Green's world. But I will tell you, we've submitted our application to the Green Building Council for a LEED certification, Leaders in Energy Efficient Development. They're the ones that are kind of the standard grader of energy efficiency of the buildings. And we have submitted for their review a proposal that would have us rated as LEED Gold.
You are kidding me.
And,
I would have gotten goosebumps at silver, but to go
for
the gold.
And that's where I started out too, was to say at least
silver,
but let's see what we can accumulate and see if we can't do better than that. And they'll review it independently, so I don't have anything to announce on behalf of the Green Building Council yet, but we're pretty confident that we've given them the evidence.
It's a rigorous application process.
Yeah,
it
is.
I'm on Saba Green Building Council, and it's a lot to go through if you're building a house or a small building. And it's everything from how you're doing the insulation to how you're getting rid of the post-construction waste.
Yep.
I know you're taking it locally to the Fairfax companies. That gives you points.
It gives us points.
It, so you have to get a lot of points. What about how much of it will be powered by solar? How are you going to power this?
Well, the water heating is entirely solar. And a significant amount, I mean, at any given hour, the energy usage will vary as with any building, but we do have on-site solar, and that's a significant contributor to it. We do have rainwater harvesting. We've got one of these ultra-efficient heating and air conditioning systems. It's actually, there's a LEED. The LEED system has a threshold for efficiency, and we're actually 26% better than the threshold based on what we've submitted. And one of the interesting things is air conditioners create condensate, the blowback,
right,
people call it. You can see that in your own air conditioning. We're actually going to use that as well for landscape water and such. None of the external water will be metered. It's all rainwater harvesting and HVAC condensate.
And people really don't. I've been to things at the university, at the College of Architecture, and when you see how it's measured, the amount of water that comes off air conditioners is mind-boggling when you're talking about big buildings. So capturing that, I had no idea you were going to do that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's another great thing. And all of the normal things of, I'm sure lights will go on and off when people go in the building. There'll be sensored lights.
Plumbing. Obviously, low water use, plumbing, the surfaces, the very top, if you flew over it in a helicopter or something so you could see the top, it's highly reflective material. The glass and the glazing and all the exterior surface are highly energy efficient. All of the appliances have a very high E rating or SEER ratings or whatever the appropriate rating is. But you also get down to things, as you mentioned, like how did you build the building in the first place?
Which is huge. Green Building Council.
Huge. It is a huge
they
thing.
Want to know how sealed is the envelope?
And they want you to be able, for example, to recycle 75% of the construction materials. We're actually at about 80%. So we're comfortably ahead of that. And they also have an interesting piece. You can tell this is an innovative organization, because one of their questions is, if there's anything we didn't think of, tell us other things you've done that ought to be taken into account. And so we've talked to them about green education and this and that, but we've also talked to them about local sourcing of materials. Very high percentage of the materials come, which is obviously good for the economy.
It's for creating our own community as sustainable. I think it's really one of the highlights. And what about, do you have an idea, you know, you say retail, and I'm wondering, what kind of retail do you hope to get? Do you have people that are, I'm sure, interested already, because there is a buzz now about downtown. People want to get down there.
Yeah, and what we're trying to get is the sort of, you know, small stores and such that, first of all, make it a convenient, attractive place for our own employees.
Right.
We're going to have 425 people in that building.
It's a great shopping.
And that's
cohort.
Kind of your anchor customer base right there. But since it's at ground level, it's accessible. We're right on the rapid transit, the streetcar line stop, and things like that. We also want it to be the sort of thing that, again, sort of creates the everyday conveniences. We're not looking for Neiman Marcus or something.
That's good.
It's really meant for the quality of life and the convenience of people who live and work downtown, because that's part of the goal here, is to encourage more people to live and work
places
downtown.
Places to eat, I'm assuming. There are a lot of great places to eat. Are you looking for little places that people can go on their lunch hour to grab a bite?
Yeah, although, again, we had an interesting discussion about that, because one thing that companies that employ 425 people in one place will often do is have some kind of a cafeteria or a subsidized place.
Right.
The downside to that is that it competes with the other local businesses.
Right.
And part of the attraction to us of being downtown is to be able to say, no, there already are restaurants and fast food outlets and things like that, and we'd like to see more. So we'd really rather encourage commerce that's more broadly based and not throw subsidized competition at them.
Good sense. When you can walk to the Cup or Maynard's or the Hub or a Steak in the Neighborhood or any of those places, it just goes on and on. I meet people frequently at the Cup or Maynard's, and there's always parking.
It's not,
as much as people say that, that's a myth that we just have to like knock it off, because you can get parking downtown. You just might have to leave a little bit of time. But I really feel the revitalization happening, and it was from that first press conference when I went down there and saw, okay, we're starting, and it's getting bigger and it's getting better. Providence Corporation is restoring a building that looks just absolutely beautiful. I know Fletcher's really involved in that. So there's a lot of things going on down there.
Yep.
When will it be finished?
11/11/11 is our target date.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to put it on my calendar, and Mrs. Green better be one of the guests of honor. I'm just kidding. I want to make sure that I'm there for the grand opening. I wouldn't miss it.
We're in the process now of planning various events to try and introduce the public to the building. Interestingly, it might well coincide with the Arizona Centennial Celebration, too.
We've been
talking to those folks about what they've got planned downtown, so maybe there's a way to
put such a great spotlight on
get some synergy.
This will make global news, and it'll get a lot of pickup. We are interviewing Paul Bonavia, President and CEO of Unisource Tucson Electric Power. When we come back, we're going to look at energy. Imagine that. Stay here with me.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790KNST. Thank you so much for staying here with me. And we have in studio Scott Caddo from Legendary World. And Scott, what are we going to talking about? What are we going to be talking about today in the legendary travel world?
I want to talk about some travel apps. I've been having
There's
so
an
much
app
fun.
For that?
There's an app for everything.
I know. You tell me all the time.
One of these, you're going to laugh, it's called Sit or Squat.
No, stop it.
I'm serious.
Is that for going outside in the woods?
No.
Okay.
No, what's happened is, it's kind of funny, but, Starbucks has kind of taken over from the traditional gas stations as you're traveling across country. So they developed this app, but it actually has gas stations, Starbucks, all kinds of places. But it's, again, for, road warriors.
Sit or squat.
It's kind of a gross name for the app.
I love it.
But,
no, I think it's not gross. I think it's hysterical and creative and innovative. Okay, so what else?
I laugh. There's another one that's called Gobi, and it's kind of the idea is, again, you get to the museum and it's closed. What are we going to do now? So this app brings up, using the GPS again, all kinds of things around you live music, other museums that might be available. So, again, obviously, even if that museum isn't closed, but you want to find other stuff.
G-O-B-Y.
G-O-B-Y. And
okay.
It's again, available for the Android or for the Apple App Store. It's in both. So, of course, I know since you still have your
Right, the far superior is the iPhone. We all know
whatever.
That.
I want to make sure you're covered.
Okay.
There's another one called Undercover Tourist, and it's a great app that Disney put out. So it's an app, again, using one that's really cool because you can actually, when you first get out of your car, it tracks where your car is parked, because we all know you go to Disneyland, you spend all day, and it's like, oh, no, where's my car? So this will get you back to your car, but also actually shows the lines at every ride throughout the park live. So, again, you can sit here and look at this app and shoot back and forth to the rides you want to just by using your smartphone.
I'm sure my daughter Katie knows about that. So the best way to contact you to find out if there is an app for that, and not just about travel, you probably know what the app is for, is to contact you, scott@legendaryworld.com.
Yep.
And visit your website and sign up for your newsletter. I really want to encourage people to do that.
Well,
it's a fun newsletter.
The e-newsletter is great because what it does is we send it out every week. One is if you don't like it, you can automatically unsubscribe. We're not spammers. We don't believe
in all
that.
Right.
So there's a one-click unsubscribe. But what happens is we send this out every week, and lots of times I'll get an email back because it's in the inbox that says, hey, Scott, heard you on the radio. Want to ask you about the app. It has nothing to do with what our promotion is.
Right.
But it's a great way to kind of touch everybody once a week. And if you have any questions, you can just email me back, and we'll just take care of it from there.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your support of Mrs. Green's World. Scott Caddo, Legendary World. Check him out at legendaryworld.com. A little joke to Scott, I love to tease him on the air, is, of course, sign up for his newsletter after you signed up at mrsgreensworld.com for mine. Thank God we're such good friends, because I can always do that little ding. Okay, joining us in studio today, we had Mike Baruch, who's the program manager for the Bright Save Energy Home Program. Check him out. Check that out on their website. It's front and center. You can't miss it. Sign up for an energy audit. You will only thank them. And joining us now, President and CEO of Unisource and TEP, Paul Bonavia. And we would like to talk in this segment, if we can, Paul, about the expansion of solar. I think that people, and you have talked with me on the show, there isn't a silver bullet, but from the last time you were on the show, there is, to me, it seems, an incredible expansion in the solar arena. And I would love for you to expand on that a little bit. I have a couple of harder questions to ask you about the production and transportation and all that, but are things accelerating a little bit? Is it looking like we're going to be getting more solar, especially here in the Southwest?
Yes, they are. Things are expanding for a lot of reasons. I mean, it starts with policy set by the Arizona Corporation Commission. Much credit to them on that. We have a renewable energy standard in Arizona, and the standard requires utilities like TEP to ramp up the percentage of solar that's in their overall energy mix. And then it provides the means to collect the costs of that and the various administrative aspects. Good program, and we're at TEP launching into this with a lot of enthusiasm. I think it's a good idea. I think it's something that we have a leadership role to play in, and we intend to do that. When I've been in Tucson now, I've been at this company about 2.5 years. And when I got here, we were just getting started. We really had negligible amount of solar capacity on our system. Today, we are ramping up very steeply. We have plans approved and in process, some of the things already completed, that'll take us to 150-plus megawatts of solar over the next 2 or 3 years. So that is one of the steepest ramp-ups in America.
And is it primarily in the residential or commercial or a healthy mix of both? Where do you see the growth?
Yeah, we want to see the mix of both. Honestly, to get a substantial amount of energy into the mix, you have to do it at scale.
Yep.
I mean, I'm all for one rooftop type programs, but I will tell you that it's a lot of residential rooftops before you make an impact. Whereas we can do utility scale projects, which we are doing in various places around the community, and get a lot of solar into the mix quickly. And we can all, and when you do that, first of all, you make an impact in a big way much earlier, and we all win. And secondly, the cost per unit of energy, kilowatt hour is the way we measure energy, the cost is much lower.
Right, because we're talking volume.
And it also gives us the opportunity to test out new technologies.
Because if you go to the Tucson Electric Power Plant, you see the R&D end of this is huge.
I mean,
it's really, really a big part. Another thing that I want to say I respect so much, because there's a lot of press about it, you really actively pursue community partners in a meaningful way. So when I read that you're going to put solar on public buildings, and then for schools, for example, which are hurting, and then they will get paid for the lease of their space, that's creative, innovative, and cutting edge, if you ask me, because people, I would never have thought, let's use all that building space, and then a building that's being built or a business can use that. So there are lots of creative solutions that you're coming up with as community partners.
Yep, we're really excited about that one, by the way. That we call it Bright Roofs.
I wrote about it. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I love this.
And the idea is you get the benefit of solar, I'm talking dollars and cents now, you get the benefit over a long period of time. There's a payback period because somebody has to invest a lot of money up front. Well, if it's a business or even a residential installation, if you are a taxpayer, you can qualify for a tax credit. We pay rebates to people. We help defray that upfront cost, but it's still there.
Right.
And not everybody can take advantage of it. And if you take those concepts and look at, let's say, a school district, well, a school district doesn't pay federal income tax. So offering them a tax credit does absolutely nothing. It has no value to the school district.
Right.
And clearly in today's economy, with the state of things, they don't have excess cash sitting around. They're struggling with their budgets, to say the least.
Right.
So what we decided to do was to say, why don't we put up the money? We will buy the equipment. We'll install the equipment, and we'll be the middleman here. We went out and did a request for proposal. We vetted all sorts of different technologies. We picked a type of photovoltaic solar that we thought was just outstanding. The manufacturer's a company called SunPower, based in California. But it's very light, it's very efficient, and it doesn't attach to the roof. It's built in such a way, they call them Legos for fun, but they sort of snap together and they sit on a roof so that you don't have to drill holes in the roof, which can cause problems.
And so, then it's there.
And then it's there.
And you have to get a new roof.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you're stuck to it, and you have a 20-year contract, and if you want to sell the building or make modifications, it's difficult. With this product, you just cut through so many of those difficulties. Plus, again, TEP owns it. We've paid for it. We put it on the roof of the school, and they, first of all, can feel good about participating in solar. They can use it for educational purposes. And secondly, we pay them rent. So they actually get money for this for
the
use of their rooftop.
As I call it.
Yeah, it's a winner all around. And it really is a marvelous technology. And again, that's the kind of thing that I think is a winner because you get a good benefit and the cost is right.
I'm so glad I brought that one up because when I read about it, I was like, this is really creative, innovative, and win-win-win. I love it. What about when you talk about the technology? I went to the Scilog dialogue. I call it the Scilog dialogue,
right.
And I heard some of the people, some of the greatest minds in the world, speak about it. And I want to know what Paul Bonavia's crystal ball is as far as solar technology. When you talked about that, I don't know if that technology was talked about on our last show a year and a half ago. The Lego concept, so that they can take it with you. Can take it with you.
You can move it if you need to do roof maintenance.
So is it changing that? Is the nanotechnology expanding? I mean, I know there's all cutting edge stuff, but just that one alone shows how rapidly expansive the solar industry is.
Yeah, it's wonderfully expansive, and that one is a good example. We were really excited to find that. If you want to see some other good ones right here in our community, I know you mentioned you've been down to our solar test yard on Irvington Road, and we've got examples of just about every technology we can think of there, and they're connected in real time to the physics department at the University of Arizona. There's a professor there named Alex Cronin, who's sort of the ringleader of the project, and they're taking measurements every hour of every day and correlating the effectiveness of the different technologies to the temperature, the cloud layer, the humidity, the time of day, whatever factors they might want to look at in order to try and see what really works best for us here in Tucson.
Okay, there's a little, we're going to a quick break. We're interviewing Paul Bonavia, the president and CEO of Unisource and TEP. When we get back, I would like to talk to Paul about his world, the coal, solar, natural gas, and nuclear. Please stay here with us.
News Talk 790 KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. We have just been, the show is just action-packed because there's so much content. We're interviewing Paul Bonavia, president and CEO of Unisource and Tucson Electric Power Company. If you have a quick question for him, we will take quick questions, 520-880-5678. But there is so much to talk about worldview. We mentioned in one of the other segments, Paul, that there is no silver bullet. There is an incredibly high growing demand for energy. You cannot pick anything up. China, India, energy sources. So what, from your view, which I have so much respect for you capably of doing, from 30,000 feet, do we need all of them? Are we trending in one area than another? The tsunami really put nuclear back. All the activists got out and I did research. I came to your presentation, to the presentation that Joaquin Reese put on at the university, which was talking about the science of what really happened and nuclear energy and what's happening now. So give us, it's all about you. Give us your view from 30,000 feet of where we are as a globe. We are one world and the demands are global.
It's daunting. The demands are global. If we just look at forecasts of energy use, which tends to correlate pretty strongly to emissions levels. If we just look at the United States, we see a tremendous increase in forecasted energy use. If you add in Brazil, India, China, and other economies that are coming along behind them, it's almost vertical. It's exploding. And we all hear stories, and I've given up trying to keep track of the numbers, but China is adding a coal-fired power plant once a month or something. You hear all of these.
It's mind-boggling.
All of these examples. And it is mind-boggling, and to their credit, they are also doing some good things, it sounds like, on renewables and energy efficiency. But nevertheless, the demand increase is enormous. How do you cope with that? If I were policymaker for a day and anyone actually cared what I thought, what would I say? And honestly, I think we need a mix of tools. There isn't a silver bullet, as you said. There isn't one strategy that's going to be the answer, at least by today's technology.
To meet the demand.
No, to meet the demand. And it takes time. We are going to have to get started, but we are also going to have to continue to put significant resources into research and development. So, I mean, on the very macro end of it, I would say, let's remember to use all the tools in the toolkit. Secondly, let us not stint on funding and support for research and development, and let's try and create market structures, as we're trying to do right here in Tucson, to commercialize some of this, because you need the innovation and the can-do attitude of entrepreneurs in business to bring this down to practical reality. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be done on all levels. Obviously, apropos to what we've been talking about this morning, I would also say it starts with energy efficiency. The single best thing we can do that is the most cost-effective and can have the greatest impact right now is sensible things like the Bright Energy Save Home.
Conserving on what it is we do and not wasting it.
That's right.
I don't want to pay for my air conditioning to cool the attic. That's a common sense homeowner. So that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. And
yep.
I'm thinking about it selfishly, but it really has a ripple effect for the planet.
It does, and it's a way we can get started. And we don't need scientific breakthroughs. We don't need billions of dollars to seal up the ductwork in your attic.
Right.
or to put weather stripping in, or the other things that are in the
CFLs,
energy saver
in
kits.
Your light bulbs.
Yeah, so that's the place where it starts. Again, for all that I sometimes cringe when I hear the way Arizona public policy is characterized globally and nationally, I will say we have a very strong energy efficiency program in Arizona. Strong policy. It's in the developmental phase. I think the last time I was here, we talked about how do you price the service of providing energy to people, given that your objective is that they use less and less rather than more and more.
You have to answer to many masters, which have shareholders, you have a board of directors, you have users, and you have the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Right.
And I think last time I said, so how is sleeping an option?
It's not easy, and I wish I had a clear answer. But it's true. My own background before I came to Arizona involved a lot of work in the wind industry. And as you know, it was a part of the American Wind Energy Association. And what we saw in the wind business was the boom-bust policy cycle. There'd be a production tax credit and federal incentives, and the wind people would go crazy, and then it would expire, and the wind people would die. And it was up and down and up and down. And the effect of all of that is makes the cost of capital very high in that business, and it pushes them offshore.
And it really it scares off the venture capitalists, the entrepreneur.
Yep,
they're like,
that's right.
That is way too slippery a slope, high risk. Let's go with something like solar, which is steadily –
yeah,
steadily climbing.
But with solar, with energy efficiency, with any of these necessary and well thought out programs, you always have to be careful about what you ask for. Because in some groups I talk with, I have to try and psych them up and hype them up and say, come on, this something real is going on and we need to address it, and we need to start now with what we can do today.
Right.
Lots of R&D and all of that for the future, but we also have to go today. Then when I'm in a group with the passionate advocates for energy efficiency or solar, then I have to put on the other hat and say, please don't oversell. If we are not mindful of the fact that these things do cost money, that consumers are strapped, that these are difficult times, and it's not progressive to heap costs on consumers indiscriminately.
That
doesn't make you a hero.
Sustainable family. Exactly.
Right. And what it will do if we spend money unwisely is you're going to wind up with the boom bust cycles, because there will be a backlash. People will learn about it. The electorate is not going to be fooled. They'll be upset. There'll be a backlash, and then the policy will veer off in another direction. So we always have to remember, give people good value for your money as you go, and do the sensible things like this energy saver home concept, Bright Energy Save Homes, because that's value for money all the way down the line. You can defend it to anybody. You can explain it to anybody.
And it really makes common sense.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I realized, too, when we last spoke on the air, is there were a lot of objections in the beginning when the solar picked up about, well, I got solar and such. I don't hear that anymore at all. People are excited about the new technology. They said, well, what, these solar panels, and they fried, and now I have to replace them, and what do you do with the waste? What I see in the solar future, no pun intended, is the present is bright and the future is bright, because those technologies are so history. They're dinosaurs. It's not how solar is being installed. The cells are thinner. The production is more efficient in terms of water, and all around it's gotten such an advance. People don't even bring that up anymore.
Yeah. And again, if people in Greater Tucson want to see some of this in action, I mentioned the solar test field on Irvington Road at our plant, but another wonderful place to go visit is the University of Arizona's Science and Technology Park,
Mike
the Tech
and I
Park.
Go out there.
And we've got two very large solar projects now in service, operating. Part of the electricity that's lighting this room we're sitting in right now is coming from those projects, and four more to go. We'll have six altogether, and because it's the U of A Tech Park, we are selecting and previewing different technologies. So we'll have all sorts of different technologies working there that we can study and that we can use. And the most recent one, the one that was most recently brought into service, is a concentrated photovoltaic solar technology where they actually use a lens to concentrate the energy of the sun onto this very efficient panel, and it harvests an awful lot more of the energy per square foot of space, and then they also track the angle of the sun. And it's really quite a marvel to see. It's a company called Aminix that's responsible for the technology. We contracted with them to bring it there. It's really worth taking the time.
Sounds like a Mrs. Green YouTube video in the making. I get so excited when I see these things. The time is so going to fly. Can you just give a little bit of I think that the tsunami, the nuclear disaster, was just awful for Japan, impact on the planet. But talk a little bit about the technology of today for nuclear, because when I went to the U of A, what you said, I don't want to take up the time with my voice, but when I go home at 10 o'clock at night after being out, I want my lights to work. I want my refrigerator to go on. If there's a power outage, everybody goes into full panic mode. So we as consumers, we want it. We want it with the flip of a switch. Nuclear, what do you think this has killed the development? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I've actually been somewhat surprised at how much opposition did not crystallize after the Japanese incident. The administration and the tone of public policy discourse has been pretty moderate about nuclear. One of the things we have to remember is, first of all, I'll put in this disclaimer, TEP is not a nuclear company. We don't own a nuclear plant.
Right,
we don't
not
buy it. And we have no plan to be a nuclear company. So I'm not at this moment speaking for my own company. But the industry has done very well. The safety record is admirable. Compare that to the emissions you get from virtually any other way to generate power. It is, you know, at least at the power generation level, a CO2, a greenhouse gas, very nearly zero emission technology. So you don't want to turn your back on that. It is capable of providing a lot of energy reliably to a lot of people. And the new, the current designs, those reactors in Japan, are 40 years old, 50 years old. There are much better technologies available.
That was the last word from Paul Bonavia. I am sure he'll be back to share more unbelievably great stuff. Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Check out my website. If you need more information from Paul, email me the questions. Have a great, safe evening.
Last night you danced.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST, all about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.